You're listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. You know, right now, all over the country, people are talking about socialism. They're talking about democratic socialism. They're talking about seeing our economy fundamentally transformed through a governmental transformation. Well, our guest today can speak authoritatively into what it looks like when you're in a country that has been fully given over to socialism and its ideals. She's a missionary, pastor, entrepreneur. Really, God has used her all over the world, and you aren't going to want to miss what she has to say.
Virginia teachers, take the lead in education with up to 64% off your graduate degree at Liberty University. This year has forced you to innovate, adapt, overcome, and you've not only risen to the challenge, you've crushed it. Now help education emerge from this crisis stronger than ever with your MAT or MED degree. Our transfer-friendly degree programs are 100% online and start as low as $282 per credit hour. It's our thanks for all you do for our future. To learn more, text TEACHER to 49595. That's TEACHER to 49595.
You're listening to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. Today we have an incredible interview prepared for you with Leanne Goff. Leanne is a lead pastor, author, international speaker, and successful entrepreneur. She spent many of her years in ministry traveling overseas, and she's here to tell us about her experience as it relates to, specifically, nations that operate under socialism. Leanne, great to have you in the studio, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, so glad that you could fit it in. You didn't come to Orlando for this interview, but we kind of snagged you. So what brought you into the area?
Well, actually, one of our grandkids will be 10 years old next month, and we're doing a big surprise celebration at Magic Kingdom tomorrow.
Come on. This is going to be one they are not going to forget. I have grandma and grandpa and family and the mouse, so it should be a good time.
Yeah, we're excited.
Amazing. Now, when you're not going to theme parks with family members, you stay really busy. You're in ministry. You have your own business. You're writing. You're speaking. Tell us a little bit about your world right now.
Wow, it's really active, and especially in the last year, I think all of us, our world has been totally turned upside down. I've traveled 34 nations, and in the last year, I've gone to places like Mexico and Dominican Republic, and that was not on ministry trips. That was because of our business. But it's just, I'm more excited than ever, Jeff. I just see the kingdom of God coming in and just invading all spheres, all seven mountains, as we talk about it, the spheres of influence, in ways that, to me, is what we've been talking about and being trained on for the last several years.
Incredible. And for our listeners, you have a very diverse set of experiences. So if you could just sketch out some of your experiences in ministry, both locally and broad, and because I want to give context to where we're going to go specifically, which is your experience in, you know, operating and ministering within socialistic nations.
Yeah. So actually, just to back up a little bit, you know, my husband and I went to Youth with a Mission in 1984 to be trained through YWAM, because I had a call for the nations, and he did too. And so we thought, with two young kids, let's get some training. So we started our missionary work and with Youth with a Mission. Now, many, many years later, I've been to 34 nations. I've ministered in Pakistan and China and Venezuela, in Sri Lanka. I'm known as the little girl with the big dad in Sri Lanka. I've done huge women's conferences there. Have a lot of favor in Sri Lanka, as well as other countries in Pakistan. But one country that I have extreme favor in, and I've traveled to, oh, gee whiz, I've lost count at least 55 times in 17 years, is the nation of Cuba. And it's really interesting because I had a team in Mexico, and my gosh, when was it? In 2004. And we were ministering there, and one of the ministers there, the pastors there, said, "Hey, do you do women's events?" I said, "Well, yeah." And he goes, "Well, I'm going to Cuba. I'm going to be doing a women's conference, and I need another speaker. Would you go?" And I immediately said yes. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? All I know about Cuba is that we have an embargo with them. It's a communist nation. I cannot believe I just said yes to this. But I tell you, it was one of the best yes I ever said.
Incredible. And God's really you know, you talk about spiritual parenting. I mean, you've really become a mother to many churches, many ministries. How many churches is your ministry overseeing in Cuba right now?
Right now, 250.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible, and God's using you in a unique way. Now, you've spent extended time in Cuba, and so as Americans, we have a hard time picturing nations that are truly different than us. I know, you know, we have the internet, we can look at pictures, but, you know, I remember the first time I was in South Africa driving away from Cape Town. And Cape Town is this gorgeous city, and you start driving away, and it's just mile after mile after mile of shacks with electrical wires. And again, until you're there and you can see it and you know what it feels like, it's hard to really comprehend what it's like. So talk to us about Cuba, what your experience is. You're being very fruitful in Cuba, but what is it like operating and functioning within Cuba?
Well, it's really different today than it was when I started going 17 years ago. So my first trip there, I remember when we did orientation in Monterrey, Mexico with the group going in, there were eight of us, and we had to take stuff, like we had to keep our Bibles hidden, we had to take stuff out of the front of our Bibles. In fact, I actually had a YWAM, the prayer steps, intercession steps of YWAM since 1984 in my Bible taped in the front cover. And that had to come out because it was a YWAM group that went in years before that. And the government found them because they weren't supposed to be there. And they thought Youth with a Mission was part of the CIA, actually.
Wow.
Because one of the leaders used to work with government at one time. And so it was just so under the radar. I mean, we literally were going in and like spies in the promised land. And so, because I do believe Cuba is one of the most amazing nations on the planet, to be honest with you.
Wow.
And so, but you know, so it was really different there. There was always spies in every service that I've ministered in. In fact, some of them would get saved. It was really cool. I really love that. It's like, oh my gosh, that spy just got saved. We didn't know who they were, but they'd come to us later and go, I work for the government and I just gave my life to Jesus. And so it was really, really cool. And so, you know, but when I first started going, Jeff, one of the things I recognized immediately is that the Cubans did not know how to dream. They did not know how to dream. I'm talking about pastors and believers. They did not, evangelists, they did not know how to dream because for almost 60 years, their dreams have been shut down. They were told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and who they could do it with. And so, you know, we started going in, and the first couple of years I was going, I went every 4 to 6 weeks. And I would just go in, and I do events, and I meet with pastors. I said one of my favorite things to do was to sit on a front porch with a pastor with some Cuban coffee and a rocking chair and just talk kingdom and just pour into them and go, you can do this. Let's dream. What would it look like for heaven to invade earth? What would it look like for heaven to invade Cuba, to totally come in with a kingdom revolution in Cuba and transform the whole nation, the whole island? And so we would go in, and I remember our first pastor's conference in March 2006, and they were so nervous. But we brought about 100 pastors from all over the island to a little place, and we spent 3 days together. And we just poured into them. We taught them how to dream. We taught them how to see from heaven to earth, not just see from earth to heaven. We taught them how to pray from heaven to earth, not just pray from earth to heaven. And we taught them how to live from heaven to earth, not just live from earth to heaven, because things look really different from heaven's perspective down to earth than earth up to heaven. And so we just set those pastors on fire for the kingdom of God, family, identity as beloved sons and daughters, and we sent them back to their communities. And that was the beginning, and that was March 2006. In fact, that exact event, the last night, is when God just really almost threw me on the floor. And I had done ministry with Heidi Baker before and been to Mozambique a few times. And I knew Psalm 2:8 said, ask me for the nations and the nations would be yours. But I had seen not too long before this that Psalm 2:7 said, son, ask me for the nations. And for many years, my husband and I, we worked and labored for nations. But then a spiritual father of mine, Leif Hetland, he taught us how to receive nations as beloved sons and daughters. And so I'm laying on the floor March 2006, and I am just underneath the power of God in this event the last night. And I said, Father, as you gave Heidi Mozambique, I want Cuba. And he says, it's yours, my daughter, take it. And I can't tell you, people go, how did you take it? I said, I don't know, I just reached into heaven and took it and put it in my heart. Well, how did you do that? I said, I don't know, brown cows eat green grass and give white milk. I just did it. We don't think about how did this milk get white, we just drink it, you know, especially with really good hot chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, just after that event, everything just changed. And we just kept going back and going back. to the point a year later, I would arrive and I would have spiritual sons and daughters going, guess what, Mama Leanne? We did an event. We brought pastors, our youth from across the island, this and that, and we paid for it ourselves. We did it all. We put it together. And then I just, and that's what we do as spiritual fathers and mothers. We raise up our sons and daughters to teach them how to do it, not us always keep doing it. I don't still, tie my 41-year-old son's tennis shoes for him, okay? I raised him to learn within a very short few years how to do it his own. And so now, things look a lot different, with the change from Fidel to Raul, and now there's a new president in there. In fact, I just heard the other day that Raul's not even active anymore. And so that's the first time in over 60 years there's not a Castro in office.
Wow.
And so now, we're able to go in over the last several years. Cubans can, buy and sell their own property. It's switched from communism more to socialism in Cuba. And we've really seen a switch take place. Cuba's in a hard spot, though, right now, a very hard spot.
You mentioned Leif Hetland. I remember being at an event with Leif several years ago in D.C., and Leif is from Europe, and he said that when he's in America, he likes being in America because he can dream bigger in America. I'm sure there are listeners going, what are you talking about? Can you speak into this? How a government system like socialism, you're saying when you went to Cuba, you're trying to get pastors to activate their ability to dream. How does a government system like socialism, how is it able to actually shut down an entire generation's ability to dream like we might be taking for granted in America?
Yeah, well, when they begin to take your voice first. I believe that's one of the ways it happens. They'll tell you what you can say, what you can't say. And again, who you can do something with and who you can't do something with. Like, hello, we've just experienced that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go here. You can't go there. You can't talk to this person. You can't talk to that person, et cetera. And this is what you have to do. And if you don't do it, then this could be the consequences and et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think I need to go into details. I think most of your audience would kind of comprehend what's gone on the last year. But, that's where it's when, I was in Venezuela 7 years ago this month, Jeff, ministering for a week. And I remember when I had a team of eight with me, and we were leaving the country. And I found out what was there. It was a bus driver that became president. A bus driver is the president of Venezuela, telling people what to do. And so we were leaving the country, and we were at the airport, went through immigrations, and we were going to our gate, and there was a food court. And we had been eating Venezuelan food, and it's amazing, but for a whole week. We just wanted a hamburger. We're just like, we just want a hamburger. And so we found in the food court of the airport Burger King. And we went up there. And at that time, 7 years ago, exactly this month, Whoppers were $45 for a Whopper meal. $45 for a Whopper meal. My understanding, Venezuelan, their inflation has increased 1,000,000% since then. People are dying. Venezuela used to be the richest nation in South America.
Now, I had a friend, this is probably about 2003, and I was working with him. He was from Venezuela. Nobody in America was talking about Venezuela in 2003. Hugo Chavez had just come into power. He had froze the currency, and socialism had just taken a stronghold. And what happens is they get into power, then they start changing the rules so that they never get out of power ever again. And it was one of the most prosperous, richest, wealthiest nations in South America. And today, it's in shambles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's terrible.
Okay, so you've mentioned what's going on in the past year in America, the COVID restrictions, the heavy-handed thing. You and I actually met just a few weeks ago at a conference hosted by Cheon, and Pastor Cheon actually sued the state of California, Governor Newsom, for the right to hold worship services. So you have people that are standing up. But Leanne, I do want to encourage you to please be bold because we need your voice. What's your message to American Christians right now? How should they be interpreting and responding to where we're at as the nation?
We got to make sure that we keep our voice. And I really, as a pastor, Jeff, I can speak into this. I really believe that the church has a lot of responsibility for what's happened over the last couple of years or so, because we've allowed the separation of church and state. And you know what? We should be going in and influencing the state, not running from the state. okay? We should be influencing government as Christians, and education and media and the business world, that mountain, and not running from it. And so I feel first and foremost that we need to make sure that we keep our voice. We have to stay above the line. We have to do it in honor because, you know, I love this. Esther, Joseph, and Daniel, man, I tell you what, they were integrated into the government mountain 100% with people that were not their people. And you know what? They won the hearts of kings and rulers and pharaohs, and they began to shift those nations and not just save their own people, but save the people of Egypt, save the people of Persia. I mean, they shifted cultures. That's the bottom line. And so instead of us running, Esther, Daniel, and Joseph, they didn't run, but they won those hearts of those kings and those pharaohs. They went fully 100%. Out of their own will, okay? It was just the circumstances they found themselves in. And we find ourselves in really dire circumstances today. We are finding ourselves pressed in on all sides. Esther, Daniel, and Joseph found themselves pressed in on all sides. I've watched Cuban pastors and ministers pressed in on all sides by the Cuban government. But you know what worked? You know what began to give them favor with the communist government? What's given me favor with the communist government is love. That's the bottom line. We've gone in, and we've loved with honor, without a hook, without a compromise. We didn't compromise, but love them because they're a beloved son and their beloved daughter. And didn't have to agree with them, but we loved them and we honored them. And all of a sudden, we won their heart. And then we could begin to speak into their ear. And then all of a sudden, the communist government is like, can you come to a crusade? We've got a drug problem now because the country opened up a few years ago and you've got the answer. Can you come and do a parade and bless our cities? You do the parade. Hey, we've got a drug problem. Will you do a youth conference and we'll bring youth from all over the country in and you can have 3 days? While communist leaders are sitting on the front row with me, and by the end of the 3 days, they're like, something's happened to me. And so what has worked in Cuba is for the pastors and the ministers and the leaders in Cuba to not fight the government, but learn how to honor them without compromise, win their heart, love them. That's what Daniel, Esther, and Joseph did. They didn't fight Pharaoh and the king and Nebuchadnezzar and stuff like that. They learned to honor them, and as a result, without compromise, I'm not saying we should compromise, and as a result, they got their ear, and then they won their heart. Well, they won their heart, and then they got their ear, and they could begin to speak into major, major, major things within the government influence in those nations. So I think for me, you know, I don't agree with a whole lot that's going on, but my responsibility is to pray first. My responsibility is to love. You know, there's a lot of believers, well, we're praying, but you know what, if I could just get in that, you know, I just punch him in the face and I just do this. Well, no, you're canceling out your prayers, okay? Because Jesus' biggest challenge was the religious leaders. It wasn't the government. You know, his was the religious leaders. And so for me, whatever stream that I get the opportunity to go into, and if there's someone there that I don't actually agree with, I don't believe the way they believe or whatever, God says, honor all men. I don't have to agree with them. I don't have to agree with, you know, the way somebody votes or whether their sexual preference or, you know, how they raise their kids or the way they use their money. I don't have to agree with that, but I am told that I'm to honor all men. I believe the church needs to learn how to honor all men without compromise and to watch what's going to happen. And so that's what we've learned in Cuba with a communist socialist government. And now they come to us going, hey, would you be willing to do this? Let us pray about it. Yes, we'll do that, you know. And so I feel like if the body of Christ can learn not to fight, the ones that the communist government has challenges with in Cuba are those that are fighting the government. They're fighting the government. And I'm not saying we don't stand up for what's right. I'm not talking about that. But the ones that are really shifting the culture in Cuba from a communist to a kingdom culture are those that are coming in with love and honor without compromise, winning the heart of the leaders in Cuba, and then they're able to shift the way that they think.
Do you think that's applicable to America?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of stuff that we've seen going on the last year, it ain't going to happen that way, you know? And I don't believe that we just go hide in our caves and pray either. I know we have to have a voice, but we better make sure that we have a voice that's saturated with love. It's saturated with honor. Jeff, I remember when our kids were young, we would go as believers and pick at the corner store that had pornography, or we'd go pick at the abortion clinics or whatever. Where did that get us? Seriously, did it shut down pornography? No. Did it shut down the abortion clinics? No. I just feel like I'm not saying we should endorse that stuff. We should not 100%. It is not kingdom at all. But I just think there's other ways that we can do it, and I just don't feel like we've done it well. I don't think the church has really led well. And as a pastor, I can say that. I'm part of Tony Perkins' Watchman on the Wall in Washington. I've been in his offices. I've been in the Capitol with him. You know, I've watched what's going on, and I really love the way Tony is doing it. And so, yeah, I think, you know what? I'm not really concerned about the last year. Yeah, it's thrown us for a loop, but I believe God has pulled the plug on the church. He's pulled the plug on government. He's pulled the plug on media, on education, on sports and entertainment. He has pulled the plug on the financial world because everybody, I mean, our business grew 200% in 2020. We thrived through 2020, but a lot of businesses survived and some of them died. And so I believe God has pulled the plug on all of this to wake up the church first and foremost, the believers, you know, and to say, that's not what my kingdom looks like. The church, that's not the way my church, my kingdom looks like. Government, that's not what my kingdom looks like. It's not a government kingdom. Media, business, education, none of those are the way I see things for my kingdom. And so, you know what? I'm going to shake some things up here to get some people's attention.
You have a story that's outside of Cuba. And I'm thinking of an event that you held in Pakistan where we were talking about before the interview. They said nothing like this has ever happened before. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, sure. Thankfully, it's out there in social media for the last 4 years, so I can definitely talk about that. But I was going back to Pakistan with Leif 4 years ago, and he had asked me, because I'd done a lot of women's event in Pakistan over the years, and he's like, what do you want to do next time? And I said, I'd really like to really touch the hearts of the women that are literally behind the veil. You know, a lot of the church actually, they have a veil on their mouth. It's just not a real veil. It's just one that, and I'm not saying even our governments put that veil on. A lot of them are just like, well, what will so-and-so think if I talk to them about Jesus? Or what would they think if I prosper financially, whatever? I mean, it's like, you know, we've just got a different type of veil on a lot of us, on our faces. And so, in fact, I do a women's conference in the United States called Breaking the Veil of Silence, okay, for women. But so, you know, Leif was like, what do you want to do? I said, I really want to touch the hearts of the women literally behind the veil in Pakistan. I've done a lot of Christian women events, but I like to do that. He says, let's do it. And I'm like, okay, how do I do that? And I just began to lean into the heart of heaven and into the heart of God. And he showed me do an honor dinner. And so that was, we did it 4 years ago next month. And so we had 30 Christian, strong Christian women leaders in Pakistan. And then we had 30 women that were from the Minhaj University in Lahore, Pakistan. And I had gifts for all of them. I got a special restaurant, and there were 60 of them that came together. And really, the bottom line was to come together to do life together. And so they all came in, and I greeted them, and we had a beautiful dinner. And it was the night before Mother's Day. And in, you know, these cultures, honor is high on their scale. And so I just began the time together at this dinner. I said, hey, you know, thank you for coming tonight. I'm so honored that you came here tonight. And tomorrow and Mother's is Mother's Day in America, and we honor mothers. And most of you sitting in this room, you are mothers. So we want to honor you tonight. And I said, you know, we're all daughters of God. We're all made in His image. You know, He and my world does not make junk. We are all beautiful, beautiful creations. And so tonight, we're just going to take and we're just going to break bread together in fellowship. It was an incredible two to two and a half hours. And I was told afterwards that nothing like that had ever taken place, at least in Pakistan, that 30 high scholared Muslim women and 30 Christian women were brought together for a time like that.
It's incredible. And you know, as we're sitting here talking, you know, it's clear that God has an anointing on you, this apostolic anointing, touching nations. You're breaking through barriers that I think if somebody was just looking at the natural circumstances, they say, well, you can't do that. But God is using you, and you have many more stories of, you know, turning around churches and raising up spiritual sons and daughters and, you know, transforming church culture. We're just scratched the surface, and I hope we can do more interviews and we can talk about some of these other things, because I think you're carrying something very fresh and very needed for the body of Christ. And Leanne, I want to make sure that people know how to connect with you, connect with your ministry. But before we do that, could you just pray over our listening audience?
Oh, absolutely.
And just, you know, whatever God has deposited in you, if you could just and, you know, release that prayer of faith for that, you know, impartation prayer, that anointing to touch our listeners today, we would just greatly appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Jeff. So, Father, I just thank you for the thousands and thousands and thousands of your beloved sons and daughters that are listening to this this podcast right now. Father, first and foremost, I declare over them that they will know, that they will know that they are your beloved son. They are your beloved daughters who you are very, very well pleased with. Father, we step into our destiny because we know our identity. Father, I don't do anything, Father, that, oh, I'm a pastor, I'm a missionary, I'm a preacher, I'm an author, I'm an entrepreneur. No, I do everything from the complete basis that I'm a beloved daughter, I'm your little girl, I have a big dad, and God, everything I do out of that. And it's so much easier to do it as a little girl than try to be some woman of God, you know, trying to make things happen or striving or pushing or whatever. But Father, kids have more fun. And God, I just bless your sons and daughters right now, Father, to have fun in the kingdom. God, you are exciting, Father. You are good. You're a good dad. You have our backs. And Father, I love Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, I know the plans I have for you, says God. Father, you have plans for your sons and daughters, not for failure, God, but God, for to be prosperous, Father God, not for distraction or destruction, Father God, but Father God, for just to be blessed above and beyond more than we can ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. And so, Father, for the ones out there right now, God, they don't know how to dream anymore. Father, I just bless them, God. I just declare, God, a stirring up, God, of dreams. Father, bring the circumstances, God. Bring the people into their lives, God, that will cause them to be stirred up, God, to dream again. Father, it's so interesting that as our kids are growing up in school and in college, Father, they're like, I want to be, you know, I want to go out for the captain of the football team. Yes, you can do that. You can do it. Go. I want to be the lead ballerina in the play or the recital. Oh, yes, you can do that. You can do that. I want to, you know, do this. I want to do that. Yeah, you could do that. And Father, once they graduate high school or college, and then they're like, I think I want to be an astronaut. Oh, well, good luck with that. You know, or Father, I think our mom and dad, I want to do this. And it's like, I don't think that could ever happen. Where are you going to get the money to do that? And we begin to shut our sons and our daughters' dreams down. Father, I speak to those right now whose dreams have been shut down by different circumstances, different voices over the years. And Father, I lift the lid off of them right now, God, to dream again. To dream again and to dream big. To dream big. You are a big God. You are our dad. You, God, you created, God, galaxies, hundreds and thousands of galaxies, Father. God, you can take care of the dreams that you put in our heart to come to fruition. And so, Father, we thank you for this time. I bless all of your sons and daughters above and beyond more than can ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. In Jesus' name,
come on. Amen. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We receive it. What an awesome prayer. Leanne, this has been such a pleasure interviewing you. How can people connect with you, with your ministry, with what you're doing?
Yeah, if they just go to Leanne, L-E-A-N-N-E, Goff, G-O-F-F, Ministries, that's plural, .org, LeanneGoffMinistries.org, they'll see everything there that, you know, whatever I guess they're looking for, they'll find there.
Are you on social media?
Yes, I am. Leanne Goff, yep, I'm there on social media for sure, 100%.
So they can find you on Facebook. And
LinkedIn, Instagram,
all that
Facebook,
good stuff. Yep, you're doing posts, videos.
Yep, living out loud and loving on people every day.
Come on, amazing. Well, it's such an honor to have you here in the studio, and thank you for being on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. It's been an honor.
You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. God bless.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.